produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
My purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desires to live for you. Worship you for the mighty things you do. I worship you, 'cause in spite of all my misery and all the things I cannot see, I know I can call out. My purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desires to live for. Praise your name, 'cause the victory is mine. I praise your name, 'cause the light in me can finally shine. Your blessings will be always mine. That's why I live, Lord. For always and forever, my purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desires to live for you.
It is August 1st, 2021. Welcome to Josie's Inspiration Radio Network and Journey of a Spirit-Inspired Radio Show. I am Josie Hopkins, and I'm excited to be recording this show today, August 1st, because it's a really special weekend for me. I'm here on vacation with my daughter and my grandchildren, and I've been thinking about what a blessing children are and how important it is when you have children to cultivate a strong relationship with them. And as I was thinking about what my show topic was going to be, I thought about a couple of things that have resonated with me recently around children and parental responsibilities with children. And recently I shared with some people Khalil Gibran's The Prophet. From that reading is a poem that I'm going to read to you now. And this is really important to me because it's a realization about the role of parents and children. So here it is. Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. And I love this because it just is a reminder to me of my role as a parent. And I've got two adult children, and I have been really misty-eyed this weekend, just in appreciation of the relationship that I have with my children. Because I know not all parent-children relationships, as children become adults, has the strength that I believe my relationship and my husband's relationship is with our children. So as I read that poem the first time recently, not the first time, but again recently, I thought about the fact that our children truly are not ours. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. And what that means to me is that although I birthed them and although my husband and I have nurtured them and raised them, we can't own them. We can't own who they are or who they become. We have to allow them to grow and be and mature who God has called them to be. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. So even as this weekend, as I'm here with the grandchildren, and my grandchildren are now 12, 13, and 17, and I'm watching this 17-year-old, and he's between youth and adulthood. And that's such a tender period of time, because there's that longing for life, that longing to become who he doesn't know yet who that is going to be. And so as I think about this poem, that children come through us, but not from us. Through us is that I birthed them, but it's not a carbon copy of who I am. And it's not something that was Xerox or that there's just another mini me, as sometimes I hear parents refer to their children as mini me's, that they're just like me and they're going to be just like you. And sometimes even we hear people say about their children, oh, you're going to grow up and be just like your mother or just like your father. And we can't own that or put that on to our children because they are not ours. We may house their bodies, but not their souls. Their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow. And tomorrow, we know, is not promised. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We just know that as we live in the moment, as we appreciate the time that we have, how important it is to savor experiences. And so right now, I'm savoring this weekend. I am loving every moment of it because my daughter planned this vacation. She planned this trip with the help of my grandson, the 17-year-old. And they found us a beautiful home on a marina that I'm sitting here in one of the many rooms. And as I look out, I'm looking out on the marina and on the marsh area. And I've spent this weekend yesterday swinging on the swings on one of the wraparound decks. And there's the hammock out there, which I said I was going to be in the hammock. But, you know, I'm 66 years old and I think 66, well, yeah, however old I am, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. And so to get on a hammock and get off a hammock, it's a great idea, but I know I would need some help because I actually needed help getting out of the swings because the swing, when you're swinging, your feet aren't touching the ground. So for me to get down, to get that motion swinging and to be able to move out of it, yesterday was a challenge. I actually had told my husband that when in a little while, I'm going to get on the swing now, but in a little while, I need you to come and check on me because I know I was having trouble getting out of the swing. And so I was in it and I was waiting for him to come and I was ready to get out because my bottom was getting numb and I was swinging. I was calling him on his cell phone and he'd actually fallen asleep. And there I was in the swing and, you know, their homes, they're not right next to each other, but it was in a proximity that I didn't want to be yelling and calling his name to come and get me out the swing. So I figured out how to kind of scooch myself to the end of the swing and, you know, really get to a position where I could get out of it. But I loved just sitting there and swinging and feeling the breeze blowing around me. And as we've been out this morning, we've been anticipating storms, but no storms have arrived. And so, you know, I just praise God for this opportunity, for this time. And I praise him for my children because I know parents whose children are not attentive, are not thinking about, you know, living their lives, including their parents into it. And I know as I spoke with my son this morning in New York, for me to be able to have this weekend here with my daughter and grandchildren, and then in September to go to New York and spend with him and his wife, you know, these are the times that we have longed for. You know, we have raised our children and we have tried to implant in them good things, but we also have to understand that we can't make them like us because we're not going backwards where we're trying to recreate ourselves. We are trying to move forward. And for me, what was really important at cancer diagnosis number two was to make sure that I was taking my hands off of my children. That as I was going into treatment for the stem cell transplant, I didn't know what that was going to be like long term. And so I needed to not be worried about if something happened to me, are my children going to be okay? And so I prayed and asked God to help me learn to release them back to him. Because in all things, the scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So I trusted that my husband and I had trained our children in a way that they should go. And that as we are now maturing, they would not depart from what we had taught them as children. And that's from Proverbs 22:6. And it also says in Proverbs 17:6, children's children are crowned to the age and parents are the pride of their children. And so that's how I'm feeling this weekend. I'm feeling that, you know, our children are proud of us and that they are loving and revering us in a way that we wanted it to be in our relationship. And that scripture is from Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are a crown to the age. You know, for my grandchildren, I know they love me. I watched my husband and my grandson go off this morning and, you know, for him to be able to impart some wisdom on him as, you know, as he's learning about driving in different places and he's, you know, navigating his path and asking for directions and asking for, you know, for feedback. You know, this is an important time. And so I really understand how our children are not our children. But the scripture that came up this morning that I really kind of resonated with, it says that, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And so I thought about that and I thought, well, how does that relate to, you know, saying that our children are not our children? And if I'm a child of God, does that mean I'm not a child to God? Well, what it means to me is that as a parent, you know, it's not my role to own or dictate or to control the lives of my children or to have expectations that they do what I want them to do. But that's different from my relationship to God. So as a child of God, I understand that it is that creator who directs my life. And it isn't about telling me what to do. It's about supporting and giving me grace and mercy as I stumble, as I move my way through life, that as a child of God, that I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility because truly God is my creator. You know, I see him as my father. I see him as the one who gives ultimate direction. And in that, I really want my children to see him in that way. And so as I think about the scripture that is Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, it says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. And so I know that my children have honored and respected us, that my husband and I can look and we can see that the things that we have taught them, yes, they have experienced some things that we wish we could have cushioned and prevented, but it's not our job to protect them from everything, but just to give them the guidance and the direction for the journey, because the journey is theirs. We can't take it for them. You know, I can't hold my adult children by the hand and say, okay, do this, go this way. The part that I'm grateful for is that during that second cancer diagnosis, that I was led to seek God's direction, to allow him to be the guide for them, for me to take my hands off from being the final decision maker in their lives, and to say that, you know, as they go about their lives, that I would allow them to make their mistakes and learn from them, that I would not try to prevent or cushion, because it was not my place to prevent things in their life or to cushion them, but to let them have the same opportunity and journey and experience that I'd had in life. Because we know that in Psalms 139, 13 through 14, it says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. And so I'm created. I'm created by God and in his image. And I am grateful for that opportunity to be his child, to know that even through my mistakes, even through my challenges, there is no imperfection in who I am. Just as there is no imperfection who my children are, that God has created us for his purpose in a way that we can live our lives in regard and in respect for him. That the greatest thing that I want is that we are an example of who he is in our lives. That I can be an example that, you know, when people see me, they see Christ in me. They see that my demeanor, that my being, that my behavior are reflective of him. And not of something that would make me embarrassed or my parents turn over in their grave. But to know that even now that my parents are not here, that I can honestly feel that they're smiling down and saying, job well done. And as I look at my children, I can say, job well done. And as I look at my grandchildren, I can say, live your life, respect your elders, respect your mother, respect your grandparents, respect others. And first and foremost, know that God is your director, that he is your creator, and he is the one that is always going to be there for you. Grace and mercy are yours. And so as we were traveling down for the first time, you know, we've taken road trips with our kids forever. We'd always rent a vehicle that could accommodate all of us. And, you know, for this time, though, we rode behind them, or, you know, they came in one car and we came in another car, and my grandson drove. And, you know, as he drove, I was praying and just saying, God, give him traveling mercies. You know, give us traveling mercies, because, you know, I believe that prayer works. I know that prayer works. I have experienced prayer working in my life. And so I'm always going to be prayerful. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit down at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And so as our children were young, we've talked to them. We have impressed upon them the importance of knowing who they are teaching them the commandments, teaching them to love themselves, to love others, to respect, teaching them to honor their mother and their father, teaching them the golden rule and trying to instill in them the things that would give them a life that's prosperous, not necessarily financially prosperous, although we want that always for them, but to give them a life that's prosperous in God's grace and God's mercy and in blessings that even I can't even fathom. You know, I wonder and think back to my parents and, you know, knowing how they sacrificed and allowed me to live my life, how at 13 years old, my parents were willing to let me leave without them ever seeing where I was going, to go off to a boarding school because they'd been told that this was an opportunity for me for my education that would give me a chance to experience something that I would not experience had I stayed in Virginia. And they allowed me to board a plane that summer and go first to St. Paul, Minnesota, to St. Paul's College and, you know, to a Carleton College and to experience a summer away where, you know, I didn't know anyone at all. I was just going on the faith that there was going to be somebody there who was going to support me, care for me in the same way that my parents did. And so that summer I experienced learning etiquette and learning swimming and field hockey and, you know, just learning what I was going to go into by going into a boarding school that next year. Because that boarding school experience was going to take me to be around people who had a different lifestyle than I did. And so just to have that experience that summer to learn how to set a table with etiquette and, you know, the fork on the left and the knife and the spoon on the right and the where to put the dessert spoon or the dessert fork and, you know, how to eat with your hand in your lap, how to hold things, you know, weren't things that were culturally from my experience growing up, but they were something that I was about to endeavor going into boarding school. And then to go that September to a private school where my first experience in getting there was having someone tell me that, oh, my name was Crawford. And because there were a lot of celebrities at the school, that there was a thought that I had come from Joan Crawford, who was a well-known actress. But for me to arrive and for them to see, oh no, she's not Joan Crawford's daughter or family member, because Joan Crawford is a Caucasian woman. And here's this southern little black girl with skinny legs and buck teeth and, you know, wiry hair coming into this environment of private school that had a princess that was a student, that had celebrity TV star children, that had authors and artist children, that had children who had experienced things that I had no clue even existed. You know, that was an opportunity that my mother took her hands off, not saying that this is my child and no one is going to have that experience of telling my child anything, but that she trusted. She trusted God. She went first to my pastor, Dr. Miles Jerome Jones. She went first to him and asked for his guidance and direction and his thoughts on me taking this experience to go away to a private boarding school where she didn't know what I was going to experience. She didn't know what it was going to be like, and that she would not see me except at Christmas and possibly Thanksgiving and spring and the summer. And this was to let her child go at age 13. So I thank my mother and father for allowing me that experience, that understanding that I am their child, but they did not own me. And that even before I was formed in God's womb, in the womb of my mother, that God knew me. And before I was born, He consecrated me. And I am so grateful for the life experiences that I've had, that I've been able to pass things on to my children, and that as this weekend wraps up and we have this beautiful time here, that I am blessed. I am blessed beyond measure to be able to sit here today in this beautiful home that is three floors, wraparound deck, two levels, looking out as a storm is about to roll in, seeing the trees swaying, seeing the marsh grasses sway along the marina, just being able to take in the blessing of having a daughter who has thought through this opportunity to make this available for her family. Seeing my grandson, granddaughter, and then my youngest grandson just experience life in a life that I have never had the opportunity to know until now. Yes, I've gone away to private boarding school, and I've lived with children of kings, a princess, celebrities, but now to come back to this day, to this blessing and this opportunity, just because God has continued to bless and grace our family. And I give him all praise and all honor. And I thank him for creating me. And I thank him for forming me in my mother's womb. And I thank him for creating my inmost being and allowing me to see the blessings that have materialized and continue to materialize in my life. This is Josie Hawkins. This is the Josie Hawkins Inspiration Radio Network. And this is Journey of a Spirit Inspired. And I'm grateful to share this journey with you. Be blessed.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Welcome back. and thank you for joining me once again on Rev. Lydia Speaks on the Josie's Inspiration Network and the Finding My Way Network. This is part two of my four-part Believe What You Speak. In James 3:3-6, it says that it is possible to bridle your whole body by taking control of your tongue. It reads, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Now that's something to think about. I used to ride, and in my training as an equestrian, you not only learn how to sit, but how to move to become one with this most magnificent creature, who for the most part only wants to please his rider. You learn that a slight movement in the placement of your knees can change the movement of the horse. Now, this bridle that James was talking about is a bit, and it's made out of metal, and it fits in the horse's mouth and right in the corners. This is tender spot. So it doesn't take much to let him know which way to go. But if you tug too hard, not only does the horse let you know that he doesn't like it, depending on his temperament, it can be not so pleasant an experience for you either. So it's when we allow our tongues to lead us unbridled that the words that come out can hurt and start a fire, as James says, a fire that defileth the whole body. He states that every type of animal can and has been tamed for the use of mankind, yet the tongue no man can tame. This caused me to think just how easy it is to go down that rabbit hole and follow that path of gossip and even add to it. Now that is a fire that James spoke of, the fire that sets a whole forest ablaze. You see, you can start a spark by something you say, even if it's the truth. And that spark can cause a split in a family that will last for generations. It can destroy someone's home or professional life. He ends with the fact that the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. So to me, that says we should keep the bit in our mouth and let God take the reins. I know it's easier said than done, especially when the comments are so wrong and so vitriol. My grandmother had a saying, and she would say that if you can't say anything nice, then don't say anything at all. But what she didn't say was what you were supposed to be thinking or doing while all that was going on. And once you've come to grips with the fact that you are always connected to your source, and the only thing that can separate you from your source is your stinking thinking. Yes, I mean that you are always connected to your source, but the depth of your connection depends on what you believe. In this world, we have challenges. And the first challenge actually comes from our life experiences. If you confuse yourself with your life experience, you lose the connection with your spark of holiness. And that's the part of you that says, no matter what happens, you're okay. That part that tells you to be more, have more, give more. It creates a channel for more good to flow into your life. And when it does, believe you're worthy of that good. For a long time, I can remember thinking that if I were very happy or enjoyed something a lot, because it had been what was happening to me, it was only a matter of time before something went wrong. Now, that type of thinking is almost a form of survivor's guilt. And because I went through that, I can see it easily in others. So I can tell you how important it is to speak life over yourself, your family, your situation, and to do it until things change, especially your thought patterns. Because sometimes you have to knock more than one time before the door opens. And I'm speaking of the door of your heart and mind. what I call the 12-inch connection. Speak your desire until it becomes your manifestation. I'm not talking about bragging and begging God. Now, let me give you a hint here. God does not work on the theory of you wearing him down, so he's just going to give you what you ask for. That's not how that works. I'm speaking of giving thanks as if you already have it. Done that a million times, because I can remember being a single mom needing something for my son, and payday was a few days away, and on top of it all, there were bills due on that same payday, so even if I had someone to borrow it from, which I did not, how could I pay them back in a timely manner? Now, I did what I call a shotgun prayer. In sports, they call it a Hail Mary, where they just throw the ball up and hope that it lands wherever is needed. And this prayer is the one that you say when so much is happening at once that you can't prioritize it in order of importance, because it's all extremely important. And it happened like this. I remembered that God said, neither a borrower nor a lender be. Now that means to put all of your trust in him and his promises for you. So I did. I said, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I know you will. And almost as soon as I said it, a peace came over me, and it was the strangest thing I ever felt. Now, not only did I get what I needed for my son, but the bills were paid, and to my surprise, there was some money left over. So my friends that I were talking about in the first part of this series, they were actually right when they said, I expect God to answer me. I not only expect it, I accept it. It may take more than one incident to convince you that God is for you no matter what, but I dare you to try it. But you have to have an open mind. I've had the experience of thinking I needed more than I had, and after checking into things or a phone call, I found out that not only was I up to date, but I had overpaid. Now, that's a wonderful thing. God doesn't have to give you money directly in your hand to handle it. Just know that it will be handled. You cannot not believe or know. Now, you can ignore or diminish the fact, but you can't not know just by living. Your believing and your anticipation brings with it a field of energy, and this force attracts a like energy and brings all of that into manifestation. But you have to be authentic in your thoughts and beliefs for your good. Let the hows of the situation and the details, let all of that junk be on God. That's too much for you anyway. Stop whining about what you didn't get and live in the joyous thought that God is bringing you along so that when your good does appear, you're ready for it. That's called grace. And believe me, sometimes it can be grace and mercy. Now, are you speaking life yet? Have you identified an area of your life that you can infuse with a new thought? If not, I can go a little further and tell you that every thought is a choice, and every choice is either infused with love of God and self, or it's not. And if I just told you all of the wonderful things that can happen when you infuse your speech with love and believe it, and confidence and joy, wonderful things can happen when you infuse like that. Well, what do you think happens in the absence of those things? When you think of yourself, what do you identify with? The things that people have told you you can't do? That's normal. I'm telling you to have a reverence about yourself and who you are in connection to your source. To actually be in love with yourself, to love yourself. Now, I'm not saying to be conceited. That's not what I'm saying at all. But know you are worthy. And if guilt or shame creeps in from something that you remember, then know that you are worthy of forgiveness. It's grace. Grace is that little cool breeze that blows at just the right moment on the end of a hot summer day. It blows away anything that keeps you from loving yourself unconditionally, just as God does. Grace is the capacity to see the good in someone or something for no other reason than you can. Understanding what is the higher truth about whatever the situation may be. Your conversation with God and your listening to your higher self can change everything in you, and that changes your manifestation. Now, my God and I have a visible track record. There has never been a time when I put myself totally in His hands that something wonderful didn't happen. It may not have come when I thought it was supposed to come, but God is always on time. And I trust Him totally. And that also means trusting Him with everything and everyone that I love the most. Now, that can actually be the hardest part sometimes, because you want good things to happen for someone now, but it may not be in God's plan for them now. When I say He loves you, that means everyone you love. God sees the big picture, and why shouldn't He? He created it. And when He gives each soul what it needs to accomplish its purpose to get to that big picture, because that's how He gets His glory. Now, if you like a little acknowledgement, don't you think God deserves some? He created us for His happiness and gives us things for ours. It's only when we step away on our journey that we risk the snares and pitfalls of things that can happen wrong. And even then, He sets our feet back on solid ground. God is awesome. Despise not the small things. And this might not seem like such a small thing, but on the grand scheme of things, it is. I have a garden that I am in awe of. And it started out with a little 5x5 square and a few little tomatoes. And then it got bigger and it became a 10x10. And now it's even bigger. It's 20x10. No, it's 20x20, and it still has the two 5x5s over in the corner. And all I did, in my estimation, was plant and water. But God put the intelligence inside of each seed so that it knew what to do. And when I first started, I have to tell you, it really looked hopeless. I just didn't know what I was doing. I knew, you know, I could grow some things in a bucket, but to actually have to till the ground and to do all of that hard stuff, it looked hopeless. The ground was hard, and I didn't know that some things cannot be planted near others. And I had to get the proper tools, which I didn't have. So I did all that clearing with a spade, a shovel, and a hoe. And that's all I did. So I had to learn what to do. To top it all off, the locals, and I'm talking about the deer and the rabbit and the squirrels and the possums, thought that I was planning a supermarket just for them. So I had to learn what to do to deter them without hurting them. It took a lot of time. But luckily, I had the time. Not so luckily, it was because we were in the middle of a pandemic. Even so, it took time to study. I had to acquaint myself with organic gardening and use the right formulations of essential oils so that it wouldn't poison the plants or me and my family. But for the time I invested, I received a lush crop of vegetables, stuff that I could freeze, and I could can and share. And I have even shared some knowledge with others about how to start a garden of their own. Now, I got to be real with you. It was back-breaking work, and it still is. And more than a few times, I almost threw in my shovel and said, forget it. But now I have so much more respect for farmers who do this sort of thing for a living so that novices like me don't have to, other than for the enjoyment. But something wonderful happened. Each time a small sprig of something unrecognizable as what I thought that plant should look like peeked its head through the earth, I realized that it was a nature of God to produce, or should I say reproduce. God did it, and he allowed me to watch. And more than that, he allowed me to believe and just know that his nature was for things to grow and thrive and be beautiful, and that this was the most enjoyment I had had in a long time. The day-to-day anticipation of what's it going to look like tomorrow? How much more will it have grown? And then, finally, it was ready to be harvested. So I picked and I ate and I shared, and man, what satisfaction. To put your hands into the lush black earth and cultivate and know that you're in the midst of helping creation. It makes you think of how God must have felt creating us and how he feels when we finally get something right and get out of his way. But that's part three of believing what you speak. I'd like to leave you with this little recap. Whatsoever you give the most attention, whatever it is that you have accepted as the truth of you, whatever you repeat as your story, and however long you repeat it. And remember, as you repeat things, things start to grow. Just as I repeated sowing my garden and doing what I thought was best, and things started to grow. Whatever you repeat as your story is what you manifest. I really do hope that I have given you something to think about. I hope I have piqued some interest in you that will change your world from gray and uncertain to the truth of living your life like it's golden. Because that is what God wants for us. That is why he created us. We are the manifestations of God. Each one of us, individualized manifestations. And even though I love my garden, God loves us so much more than any piece of fruit, any bird, any insect. We are the only thing that he breathed life into in order to create. We were. Now, he created everything, but he put his breath, his ruha, into man, and his intelligence, and his love, and his acceptance of everything. When we step aside from that, that's the only way that we disconnect, and that's only temporary. Because as soon as we come back to who we are and knowing what we're supposed to be and who we are in God, we get all of that back. I would like for you to know that you can live your life like it's golden. That's the way God wanted it for you. That's your purpose. And all of the other stuff is just some weeds in the garden of your life. I'll be back with part three. And I hope you can join me. For now, this is Rev Lydia, and I'd like to say, relax, release, and to recognize, or should I say, recognize, meaning your cognition in the fact that you know who you are in God, the fact that God loves you and everything about you, and you know this, and you know that you know that you know that you know. Until next time, be blessed.
started something good.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.